Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to A Fine Time for Healing, a sanctuary for your emotional well-being. Your host is Randy Fine, author of the memoir Finally. Here's Randy.
Thank you for tuning in today to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. I am your talk radio show host, Randy Fine. The topic I'll be discussing today is the sixth sense. Could you be psychic? Belief in the existence of the sixth sense can be traced back thousands of years. In ancient times, rulers consulted oracles, priests that had the ability to predict the future before going to war. For centuries, the idea of transferring thoughts without using the five senses has been accepted as a natural human ability among many native cultures. The sixth sense, also known as ESP, remains a topic of great fascination among people in modern society. Most of us depend on our five senses, sight, taste, hearing, smell, and touch, to perceive the world around us and navigate our way through life. Many neurologists identify 9 or more senses. Some will say there are as many as 21. 6 other human senses with anatomical or neurological explanations have been identified by researchers, the sense of balance, the sense of pain, the sense of different temperatures, acceleration and joint motion, the sense of time, and the sense of direction. With no known physiological explanation for its existence, the sixth sense stands alone. It is beyond the reach of our intellectual understanding. The man who coined the terms extrasensory perception and parapsychology was Dr. J.B. Rhine, a professor at Duke University. Dr. Rhine, named the father of parapsychology, brought the concept of ESP to the forefront of the study of abnormal psychology. In 1927, he began studying the phenomena along with his wife, Dr. Louisa E. Rhine, and in collaboration with Professor William McDougall, the chairman of the Department of Psychology. As a result of his scientific studies, the Rhine Research Center in Durham, North Carolina, was founded. The Rhine Institute continues to be a thriving center for parapsychological research today. Sixth sense theories today still fall beyond the boundary of traditional scientific explanation. The National Science Foundation considers ESP to be pseudoscience because the phenomenon cannot be proven through scientific experimental techniques. Their studies show inconsistency and unreliability. But the fact that there is no absolute or tangibility associated with the sixth sense does not mean that it doesn't exist. Faith-based believers accept the phenomenon in the same light as they accept the concepts of God or the afterlife. Extrasensory perception proponents generally theorize that the ability is a conscious spillover from a subconscious reality beyond our physical world. The sixth sense, also called extrasensory perception, ESP, psychic ability, premonition, intuition, and subtle perception ability, is considered a non-conventional ability. But it is not beyond ordinary at all. We all have it to some degree. The ability lays dormant in those who don't recognize they have the gift and consequently don't develop it. Every human being has intuition, insight without reasoning, the little voice in our heads that tell us whether or not to travel or buy something, the sense that someone behind us is watching us, the immediate assessment of someone we have just met. Females tend to have a stronger sixth sense than men, and it comes more naturally to them because they are more intuitive. Twins are often telepathic. Some can communicate without speaking. Many mothers can sense when their child needs them or is in trouble. Though often dismissed as being coincidental, everyone experiences psychic power from time to time. Have you ever had a premonition that something was going to happen, and it did? Have you ever thought about someone, and then you ran into them, or they called? Have you ever had a dream that came true? Have you ever received a message from someone at the exact time you needed to hear those words? We all experience glimpses of our psychic abilities now and then. At one time or another, we have all seen, heard, touched, smelled, or dreamt about something related to the parallel dimension of the spiritual world. We tap into the unseen world, also known as the subtle world, through our five subtle senses that are in direct correlation to our five physical senses. Our five subtle senses include subtle sense of taste, subtle sense of sight, subtle sense of hearing, subtle sense of smell, and subtle sense of touch. The sixth sense is composed of those five subtle senses. The law of quantum physics states that every physical form is determined by its energy frequency or vibration pattern. In accordance with this theory, we have eyes because we have the energetic vibration that allows us to see. We have ears because we have the energetic vibration that allows us to hear, etc. When we trust our intuition, we allow our subtle senses to perceive the unseen world at the same time our physical senses perceive the physical world. Our five physical senses and our five subtle senses make up our essential perception network. This network is what gives us our intuition and the ability to perceive ourselves and everything that is happening in our physical world. There are eight subcategories that fall within the sixth sense classification: clairvoyance, clairaudience, clairsentience, precognition, retrocognition, telepathy, mediumship, and psychometry. Clairvoyance, meaning clear-sighted, is the ability to gain future information about an object, person, location, or physical event. There are two types of clairvoyance. Voluntary clairvoyance is a skill that is developed and willfully mastered. Involuntary clairvoyance exists independently of one's will and is difficult to control. Clairaudience, meaning clear hearing, is the ability to hear a voice in one's mind. It may occur at a subjective level or an objective level. Subjective clairaudience is messages from the spirit world that could be heard as if the spirit is standing next to you. Objective clairaudience is the self-talk or conversations that go on inside our heads on a daily basis. Clairsentience, meaning clear feeling, is the empathetic ability to sense the thoughts, feelings, and experiences of spirits or those living in physical bodies. It is also the ability to sense the lightness, darkness, and moods of spirits and the auras of those who are either living or dead. When perceiving a spirit in the midst, clairsentients may feel a tingling sensation on their face or body, an uncomfortable feeling in their stomach or throat, or they'll feel the hair on their neck stand up. A clairsentient has the ability to emotionally, physically, or energetically feel just as spirits felt in their physical bodies, and or exactly how those who are living feel at the present time. Precognition, meaning prior knowledge, is the most commonly reported sixth sense ability, the ability to see the future. Precognition is the knowing sense that something will happen. It often occurs in dreams when our conscious mind is at rest and our subconscious mind is active. Precognition is similar to premonition, but premonitions are feelings that something might happen in the future, not a definite knowledge of a future event. Retrocognition, meaning backward knowledge, also known as postcognition, is the ability to see and pick up information about places or people in the past. The retrocognitive ability is based on knowledge that could not have been obtained by normal means. Deja vu, the feeling that we've been there before or experienced the same feeling before, is related but not considered retrocognition. Telepathy, meaning transference of thought, is the ability to read someone's thoughts through mind-to-mind communication, independent of the distance involved between the parties. The signal comes through just as clear whether it has been transmitted in the same room or from the other side of the world. Most of us have the ability to send and receive messages through the thoughts and feelings of those we are close to. I do it all the time with my husband, daughter, son, and sisters. There are four types of mental telepathy. Telepathic impression is one. Receiving a message, word, or image from someone else's mind. The second one is mind reading, sensing or knowing the thoughts of someone else's mind. The third one is mental communication, communication between two parties. And the fourth one is mind control, controlling the thoughts and actions of another person. Synchronicities, unexplainable coincidences, are also examples of telepathic reception. Psychometry, meaning soul measure, is the ability to read information about a physical object or the events or emotions of a person or place connected to the object through touch. A person with psychometric abilities receives impressions of the object's vibrations in the form of emotions, smells, images, sounds, or tastes. Illnesses may be diagnosed using this method. Mediumship is the ability to channel dead spirits. Mediums are naturally sensitive to accessing the link between the physical world and the spirit world. There are two types of mediums, mental and physical. A mental medium uses clairvoyance, clairaudience, and or clairsentience to communicate with the spirit world. Physical mediums allow the spirit to channel through them while staying in complete control by using one or more of six methods. The first one, transfiguration, the superimposition of the spirit's face over the medium. The second one, through direct voice, the spirits create a voice box, also called a trumpet, from the energies and ectoplasm of the medium and the energies of those in the room. The third one is materialization. The spirit can be seen by everyone in the room. Fourth is trance. The spirit takes over the medium's body and verbally communicates through them. The fifth one is through ectoplasm. Spirit energy in the form of a white mist or vapor emanating from the medium's body. And the sixth one, through apports, physical objects brought through by spirit to the people in the room. I am going to take a brief 1 minute intermission. I'll return after the music interlude. Stay tuned. I'll be right back. The sixth sense. Could you be psychic? For those who are especially sensitive, the ability to use their sixth sense comes as naturally as their ability to use all their other senses. The rest of us must first recognize that we have the ability, then develop it in order to use it effectively. For everyone, there are varying degrees of success. No psychic on earth is 100% accurate, and no psychic is psychic about themselves. Those who are more sensitive and can more readily tap into their sixth sense often don't feel exceptional in their abilities. Though they may understand and accept the fact that they are different, they perceive their extraordinary abilities as normal functions. Some feel that their gift is a nuisance that interferes with their day-to-day life. They would like to turn off the images, sounds, and sensations, but don't know how. Psychics have to learn how to structure their mind to avoid sensory overload. The psychic ability can be developed, managed, and controlled, whether someone is naturally gifted or not, through experienced guidance, reading and learning, and special training. Through practice, we can all learn how to focus on useful information and ignore irrelevant information on a moment-by-moment basis. To be intuitive, our conscious and subconscious minds must be on alert and ready to receive information. When we are self-focused, we are inward-focused. We block the stream of information that constantly flows to us. The more tuned in we are, the more subtleties we are able to perceive. Our sixth sense awakens and strengthens through meditation and spiritual practice. The Hindus believe that there are six basic principles of spirituality that effectively lead to rapid spiritual progress. One doesn't have to practice or believe in the Hindu religion to find these principles relevant and effective. The six basic principles of spirituality are: 1, there are as many paths to God as there are people. When undertaking spiritual practice, we should bear in mind that each individual is different. 2, going from many to one. The impact of our efforts is much more powerful when we concentrate our efforts on the one instead of the many. 3, progressing from gross, tangible or accessible through the five senses, to subtle, intangible or inaccessible through the five senses. We need to improve upon our spiritual practice by going from just physical actions to a more subtle level. Likewise, when practicing spirituality, authentic devotion for God or intense desire for spiritual growth should replace ritualistic worship devoid of devotion. 4, undertaking spiritual practice as per the spiritual level or spiritual capacity. Our chosen spiritual practice should always be at our spiritual level or capacity. Spiritual seekers should always try to improve their capacity. 5, doing spiritual practice relevant to the times. There is an appropriate time for all things in life to happen. If the right thing happens at the wrong time, then the desired result will not be achieved. And 6, offering to God based on your talent or capacity. All of us have God-given resources at our disposal: our body, our wealth and worldly connections, our mind and intellect, our sixth sense, etc. We should use these resources to serve God as part of our spiritual practice and to grow ourselves spiritually. There is a theory that those born with psychic sensitivity are gifted in that way because they had made spiritual practice a vital part of their previous life. All those who receive the gift are expected to use it responsibly and dutifully, only to promote spiritual growth in themselves and others. The psychic does not own the gift. They are entrusted with it. Another popular belief is that psychic ability is hereditary. Those with psychic sensitivities will often say that one or more of their children have the gift too. Though heredity doesn't seem to be a factor in the specifics of their abilities. For instance, a mother who is a medium may have a daughter who doesn't channel dead spirits but is telepathic and clairvoyant. Those that choose to tap into and exercise their extrasensory perception must first be balanced, disciplined, and self-controlled people. Those who are not well-balanced may find it difficult to control the information coming through them and therefore find it difficult to lead a normal life. The source of all information coming through our subtle perception is spirit. These divine messages, sent with love, are meant to guide us, heal us, and protect us. If a message comes through with negativity or malevolence, it should be disregarded. In developing and using extrasensory perception, one must take into account the risks involved. By knowing the potential dangers, you can learn ways to protect yourself. Psychic attacks are assaults on the mental and emotional well-being of an ESP practitioner by negative energies that want to extinguish their light. These dark entities direct their assaults at the psychic's conscience, their well-intended concerns with helping others, and their commitment to serving God. Dark entities try to destroy the psychic practitioner's power by debilitating them with self-doubt, depression, and hopelessness. Experienced practitioners learn how to recognize these attacks and remedy them. They use techniques like prayer, flower essences, chakra work, and white light visualization to rid themselves of the negative feelings that have taken them over. Those with psychic empathy the ability to sense the emotions of others, must learn how to shield themselves or risk absorbing the physical and emotional pain of everyone around them. Many psychic healers are plagued by this problem and must learn how to self-protect. Channeling, communicating with the spirit world, is potentially risky and should never be attempted by amateurs. When channeling, the medium is opened up to spirits they know little or nothing about. Dark spirits may attach themselves to the medium's energy and may be very difficult to get rid of. Experienced channelers know how to recognize and block dark entities from coming through them. As your psychic mind develops more and more, it is very possible that an overload of information, more than you can process, may start coming through. Your subconscious mind has filters in place to protect your conscious mind, but if you overload it, the filters may stop working and your conscious mind may be flooded with distracting information. Experienced practitioners know how to work with these filters. We are each born with special talents and gifts that we experience as natural abilities. Other skills have to be worked on and developed. The same is true with the development of the sixth sense. With knowledge and insight, those who aren't born with the gift of natural ability can still develop their sixth sense to a degree. If you wish to develop your psychic abilities, there are training groups and programs available in many cities. Self-study is another viable option. Books, audio courses, and video guides can be very effective in learning the basic skills. Once you learn the skills, they'll become easier over time with patience, practice, and determination. Finding the method that works best for you may come with trial and error. Before investing your money in programs or learning media, search out reviews to find out what others have to say about them. Some believe that psychic ability can rub off. Spending time with others who are psychic may increase your ability. If you don't personally know anyone you can hang around with, there are psychic groups on the internet that you can join and interact with. Those with psychic ability must be careful, if they read others, not to unintentionally mislead, misguide, or cause harm to other people. Those receiving the readings may take the information very seriously and may act on it or put their life on hold waiting for something to happen. Clients should always be advised that readings are given for the purpose of gaining a better understanding of their life, and that the direction of their life can change because we all have free will. We all look forward to the prospect of a life that's new and exciting. When we're hurting, we want to know when there will be a brighter day. We'd like to believe in a future that is better than our past or current life, as if that would make us happier or more content. But do we really want to know what our future holds? What we do today determines what our life holds tomorrow. We can't change the future or the past because they are intangible, but we can impact the present. We can ask whatever questions we want to from the spirit world, but some information will never come through. Some mysteries of life must be experienced and discovered through the act of living. Some information is strictly reserved for knowledge in the hereafter. Not everyone will master their psychic abilities or become a professional, but much can be gained from learning and developing our sixth sense. By strengthening our subtle senses, we strengthen our connection to the source of everything. We open ourselves up to the infinite possibilities the universe has to offer us. When life's uncertainties arise, we can confidently call on our intuition. When we are in need of divine guidance, we have a clear-cut path to the source of all wisdom. When you unleash your psychic potential, you will evolve your spiritual growth. That labor of self-love will follow you into eternity. We're out of time. I hope you found meaning in this show that you can apply to your own life. Please feel free to contact me with any comments and questions you may have by emailing me at afinetimeforhealing@randygfine.com. And Randy is always spelled with an I, R-A-N-D-I. Be sure to tune in on Thursday, December 13th. Actually, it's going to be Tuesday. I think it's Tuesday, December 13th at 12 p.m. Eastern Time as I discuss the topic, time. Is life actually moving faster? All my shows will be archived and can be listened to at your convenience on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, or through the show links on my website. Thanks again for tuning in and listening to A Fine Time for Healing. This is talk radio show host and author, Randy Fine, signing off until next time. May joy and serenity always be yours. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening. You can find out more about Randy at her website, randygfine.com. That's RANDIGFINE.com. Join her next time for more of A Fine Time for Healing.